Good morning. I was telling Jimmy today that for some reason I have an aversion to the pulpit these days. I'd rather be down here in the trenches with you all. Well, Merry Christmas. It's still Christmas, 12 days of Christmas and partridge in a pear tree and all of that stuff. But anyway, I mean, I think it's really great that we celebrate Christmas for 12 days. So, Merry Christmas. And if you were here on Christmas Eve, you heard Jimmy's sermon linking the reintroduction of wolves into the greater Yellowstone ecosystem to the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And I thought that that was a brilliant analogy. And if you weren't here, I would encourage you to go on to our YouTube channel and listen to that sermon. Listen to the 6 o'clock version, because he really nailed it at 6 o'clock. They were all good, but I felt like the Spirit was just like right here in the room with us. Brilliant analogy, and I've been thinking about it ever since. Jimmy's sermon planted this idea in my mind, the idea that everything, and I mean everything in creation, is connected and forms this mystical ecosystem of the cosmos, and that we human beings have a unique role to play in this cosmic ecosystem. Our unique role is to be conscious of its beauty, its power, its mystery, and its grandeur, and to acknowledge our place in it to help it grow. We've been gifted with consciousness. We are the universe. We are God's creation, becoming conscious of itself. Sound far-fetched? Of course it does. I'm trying here to describe a mystical experience that I had that was triggered by Jimmy's sermon and also by maybe not enough sleep in the last 8 days, by getting to perform a wedding on the Saturday before Christmas and then church on Sunday and then Christmas Eve, 5 services, then one on Christmas morning, then driving to the Wind River Indian Reservation that afternoon. We had a wake on Friday. We had a funeral and a burial on Saturday. And then I got to drive over Togedy Pass last night in a whiteout. And all the while pondering this beautiful, mystical, poetic, somewhat weird gospel that we get to hear today. It's called the prologue to John's gospel, and it was just kind of fermenting in me through all of those 8 days as I was thinking about, what the heck can I say about this? And it did. It evoked what I can only describe as a mystical experience for me. I didn't come to this mystical experience through like silence and mindful meditation, because I was pretty much in survival mode for 8 days there. But somehow I was fully aware and immersed in everything that came my way, and a lot came my way. I know my experience is not unique. I mean, it's just how life goes for most of us most of the time. We've got stuff coming at us all the time. And except for on those rare occasions where we can carve out a few minutes to be silent, to sit in prayer and meditation, most of the time it's just one darn thing after another. But there's another way of looking at this aspect of our lives. If we look hard enough at our own lives, at our own personal experience, or maybe if we look softly enough and hold our lives and our experience in soft hands, maybe we can see the beauty and the mystery that is in these mundane, everyday lives that we've been gifted with. So my mystical vision of life on earth as a human being in a cosmic ecosystem that I'm trying to communicate to you all today, it didn't come in a flash. It was not one of those rocketed into the fifth dimension experiences that we know that people have because they testify to them. It came to me quietly, little by little, over time. Speaking of ecosystems, did you all know that there's an ecosystem whose habitat is St. John's House right over there? It's our office where 10 of us, members of the St. John's Church staff, pretty much live and breathe and have our beings from Sunday through Thursday and beyond each week. And it's a beautiful habitat. It's an ecosystem of its own. One characteristic of a healthy ecosystem is diversity. And, you know, you might look at our staff and think, well, it doesn't look all that diverse to me. But if you know us, you know that we're all very, very different people. We all have different ways of looking at the world. We all have different methods, forms of communication, different strengths and weaknesses, and we work in this system that works for the most part. It keeps this church running, and I think it keeps this church thriving. I think I've mentioned the Enneagram before. Does anybody know about the Enneagram here? It's a spiritual way of looking at individual people's characteristics, their communication styles, their strengths, and their weaknesses. And we brought a consultant in to work with us as a staff to try to figure out the best way to make this ecosystem thrive. And the consultant was kind of amazed because they work with lots of organizations and they had never encountered an organization that had all eight types of Enneagrams working within it. So there's an example of our diversity. We function as a system most of the time, and when we don't, we find ways of adapting to one another, to the assignments that we have. And that's another characteristic of a healthy ecosystem is nimbleness, fluidity, able to adapt. It's a beautiful, messy, functional ecosystem populated by beautiful human beings. And I've learned so much about myself and my place in the cosmos by being part of this. And if the cosmos is one great breathing ecosystem powered by God's love, and I believe that it is, there are smaller ecosystems within it. There's the greater Yellowstone ecosystem that we live in, which contains St. John's Church. You all are an ecosystem too. You've all got your niches to occupy here. And on the second floor of St. John's House, there's another little sub-ecosystem, and that is four offices that Mary, Travis, Jimmy, and I each get to occupy. It's the habitat of your clergy. And it is a wonderful place. And our doors are usually open. Ideas and conversations flow freely among us. And working with these three people has been and continues to be the great joy of my life. a great gift to me. The conversations that we have are rich. And as most of you know, we've had a lot to talk about in the last 6 months. As each of us has faced our own challenges and joys, and we've walked through them together. Collectively, we have experienced the whole gamut of what it means to be human beings living on planet Earth. We've experienced birth, we've experienced death, we've experienced sickness, we've experienced healing. We've experienced struggles and successes, joys, sorrows, fear, confusion, and all the experience that come with being human. I've been propped up by the love of my colleagues and by the other members of the staff in beautiful ways when nothing in my life has made sense. It's been a mystical experience, and it continues to be, to learn in real, practical ways how to love others, and maybe more importantly, how to accept love myself. How can we rationally explain joy or sorrow, love, the healing power of love? How can we explain these things without explaining them away? We can't. You know why? Because they are mysteries. And I'm learning to let the mystery be with the help of so many people. You know, there's, rightfully so, there's been some concern about the well-being of the clergy, and I just want you all to, I just want to assure you all that, yeah, we're kind of bruised and battered right now, but we're strong in our weakness. Thank you for being part of our journey. It's all connected. And it's no accident that we chose Into the Mystic for our Advent theme. We're all going through some cosmic shifts in our lives, shifts that at deep levels we're changing who we are. We wanted to explore for ourselves and for anyone who's willing to come to the Advent dinners and join in or join in with us on Sunday as we explore this mystical side of our tradition. And it's been helpful. Mysticism does run deep in our Christian tradition, maybe so deep that it's kind of gotten buried. And we wanted to sort of dig in and see if we could find it. It was a good exercise, and it was helpful, and I hope that others found it helpful too. But we can also overlook the mysticism, the cosmic view of reality, even when it's right in our faces. Take Christmas, for instance. The Son of God coming into the world in a specific place, in a specific time, born to an unmarried young woman in a barn. Angels, shepherds, magicians from the east, a wandering star, a baby. God comes into the world embodied, enfleshed as a baby. Why would God enter the world as a baby if God was already present everywhere and at all times in the world that he had created and empowered? God had already come into the world in various guises, right? He came to Moses as a burning bush. He came to the Israelites as they were fleeing Egypt as a column of smoke and a column of fire to light their way. He came to our brother Job in a whirlwind. Maybe God figured that these natural manifestations weren't adequate or weren't in the right context to reintroduce human love into the world. God must have figured that we needed another human being to show us the way. A real human being to share our humanity with us, to be born from the womb of a woman, to grow into a strong young man, to experience joy and sorrow, suffering, to be born and to die, and to experience all the great mysteries of being human. And then, if that wasn't enough, to experience that great mystical promise to be resurrected. God in human flesh, experiencing the beauty, the terror, the joy, the suffering, the sadness that we all get to experience somewhere along the line. In the person of Jesus, it doesn't get much more mystical or mysterious than this. Or does it? Well, John says it gets even stranger and more beautiful in the gospel reading that we have today. In Luke and Matthew's birth stories, the ones that we have shaped into our Christmas story, they both start out in Mary's womb, with Jesus in Mary's womb. John traces Jesus' origin story all the way back to the origin of the cosmos. John places Jesus with God at the creation of the cosmos and names him Logos, which we have translated into the Word. John tells us that Christ was present at the beginning as the creative, ordering, generative power that brought into being this cosmic ecosystem that we inhabit today, this created universe that stretches farther back in time and farther into the future than we can even comprehend. And the Word was made flesh, and the Word brings light and truth and life into being as a gift for the whole cosmos and for all of humanity, including everyone sitting in this room today and everyone outside this room today. This is the spark of life, the gift that we receive as children of God. This is also Jesus' true nature. And we all have that spark of life within every one of us. Now, I know plenty of people who dismiss this cosmic Christmas story out of hand, calling it a fairy tale or a superstition or a fiction. Somehow it's real. Those people are just simply too practical to hear the mystery and the truth in the story of God's reintroduction of light and love into the world in the person of a cosmic baby. And I feel a little sorry for those people, not in a condescending way, but in an empathetic way, because I spent most of my life without a mystical view of the world or my place in it. It was educated out of me at a young age. So maybe my mystical vision of my place in creation is a function of age, a function of experiencing love and loss, and through loss and love, birth and death, and the miracle of inhabiting this body in this very life that I've been given, and trying really hard to understand why things happen the way they do, and failing, I'm left with only one explanation and one faith, and that is that we are all intertwined in a cosmic way. We're connected to one another, and we're connected to the ecosystem of the universe, and that as long as we inhabit these bodies, that we are lit with a power that is not our own, and that is the power of God, of God's love. And that baby in the manger came to remind us of that. As children of God, we carry more light and more power and more love within us than we give ourselves credit for. Why did God come into the world as one of us? As I was driving from Ethity to Lander a couple of days ago, a song came on the radio that made it very clear to me. It's a song by Jackson Browne called Love Needs a Heart, and it's not a very good song, but the title of it, I couldn't get the title of it out of my mind. Love Needs a Heart. Something came to me on that drive, and I don't know if it's theologically correct, maybe it's even heretical, but I don't mind, and I don't mind sharing it with you. God needs our hearts. God needs us to manifest God's love for humanity in the world. God needs these hearts. God needs these guts. God needs these hands and feet and tongues and minds. God needs these bodies that each of us have been given to inhabit as long as we've been given, to embody God's love and fire and water and power into the world. God needs us just as Jesus needed Mary's care and love and nurture as a baby. God needs humanity to make love real. God needs you to make God's dream come true. Merry Christmas. Amen.